Welcome to the Tea Podcast, the podcast that always takes it there. Your host for the Tea Podcast is T, from the infamous TeaBlog.com. Some people say T has a way with words. Some call him the Tom Brady of blogging, the Jay-Z of screenwriting, the Conor McGregor of podcasting. He is the man who is always, always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now here is your host, T.
Welcome, everyone, to the Tea Podcast for Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. Welcome to the Tea Podcast number 132. How's everyone doing? I'm doing just fucking peachy. Late edition Tea Podcast tonight. Had some stuff going on, but I wanted to get it up because I committed to delivering a Tea Podcast, a solo Tea Podcast, every Tuesday by myself, and hopefully every Wednesday with B-Lo. Can't speak for him as much as I would like to. He speaks for himself. So I can't really commit to B-Lo every Wednesday, but I know I will be here on Tuesday, whether it's the morning or nighttime, I will be here. I'm going to come in hot. I'm going to come in fast tonight. It's going to be a short, quick one, right to the point. The title of the Tea Podcast, number 132, is Tummies and Dummies. Why? Let me get into this, okay? Who out there has ever had a stomach scan? I'm raising my hand. You can't see me right now. I have. So, if you've been following along on the Tea Podcast, you know that I've been dealing with health shit the last few years. I'm not going to get into that. Details of why. Stuff with my mom, led to my personal health, hitting the age. It was just been a tough few years where basically I had my ass handed to me. I had things going on in my head. I had things going on in my heart. Stuff cleared up, good to go, and then my stomach started bugging out too. So over the last few years, let me tell you, my mother's stuff aside, I was in the hospital so many times with her, going through her treatments and everything she had to go through towards the end. I hate the hospital. I never was a fan of hospitals. Problem with my treatment is, in the stuff that I'm going through, it's the same hospital my mother went to. So every time I have to go to the fucking hospital, I get, speaking of stomach pains, I get a sickness in my stomach. Every time I walk to the hospital. I don't drive. Once in a while, I'll drive there, take my car. But if I'm leaving the office early and I go to a doctor's appointment, I'll walk. I love walking through Boston. I walk to the hospital. Every time I make that walk, I remember how many times I made that walk going to see my mother, how many times I made that walk dealing with my health stuff. For the last 3 years, I spent more time in the hospital than I can even remember. I lost count. So the last 3 years for my own personal health, I had to go in and I had regular doctor's appointments. I had to meet with my primary. I had to meet with a cardiologist. I had to meet with a neurologist. I had to meet with a gastroenterologist. I had to meet with their assistants. I had to meet for tests. I went to the emergency room earlier on when this all started about 4 times. You're talking about somebody who would never go to the emergency room unless I got into a fight and was bleeding the fuck out. That's the only time I ever really went. There was a kidney infection I had about 15 years ago. Other than that, I went to the emergency room twice in my mid-30s because I had the kidney stones, basically, that I had to get out of my system. But over the last 3 years, I spent so many fucking times going to the hospital. And for me, what I had done, right, on top of the regular routine. So you go to the routine checkups, you got to fucking go into the room, the little room, the waiting room, the big room. You know, Seinfeld did a bit on that. Finally, talk to your doctor. You tell your doctor all this shit. There are more people taking fucking vitals and poking and fucking probing you. I've had more blood taken from me. So I've been tested for gluten, celiac, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, IBS, Crohn's disease, diabetes. All these types of blood work came and went. They tested my iron. They tested the blood sugar. They tested different types of things could be in my body. All back negative. All perfectly normal. I've been weighed. I've been scanned. I've had my blood pressure checked. All perfectly fucking normal. Then I go to the specialist. I had an MRI on my fucking head. Normal. I've had about 4 EKGs and an echocardiogram on my heart. Normal. Now, the head's gotten better. The heart's gotten better. My mom, you know, it's been about a year and a half since she passed away. I've been dealing with life a little bit differently. I have my girlfriend who I'm in love with and makes me happy. And, you know, I work out. I'm pretty healthy. I am not getting to the workouts that I once did because there's something always bothering me that make me not feel well. But I'm still probably in the gym, not 7 days a week like I once was. A good solid 5 days. Now, it's enough to get what I need to get done at my age. I'm not into the bodybuilding anymore, and I eat relatively clean. I have 2 prep meals a day. I have a banana. I have a bowl of oatmeal in the morning with blueberries. Pretty simple diet. I get my protein from that. I don't need a lot of protein because I'm not doing the heavy weights anymore. So I got a pretty good routine. So everything that I keep on getting done in, that they keep on telling me everything's great. I don't know what the fuck it was, but somehow, some way, the head's gone a little bit better. The heart's gone better. I don't have the palpitations. I don't have the anxiety. I don't have the arrhythmic problems in my heart anymore. So now we're on to my stomach. My stomach is not painful, but it is squirming. It's bubbling. I get bloated and gets gas. Doesn't matter what the fuck I eat. It could be a regular meal, a healthy meal, chicken and broccoli. It could be a cheat meal, pizza. I don't know. Any given day, I never know what's going to happen. Could be stress-related. Could be age-related. Nobody actually knew. They ruled out anxiety. They ruled out all that other bullshit. So I'm like, I got to go get my stomach checked because of this bubbling and this gurgling, this bloating, all this bullshit. The gastroenterologist is like, okay. Sits down. We talk about this thing called the FODMAPS diet. FODMAPS is taking certain things out of your diet, which gut everything out and then slowly put everything back in one by one to see what's actually triggering it. I didn't really want to go down that road because I already have such a lean diet anyway. So he scheduled a stomach scan. Okay. So when I had that kidney infection 15 years ago, I remember going through getting the stomach scan, going through a circular bubble. And I remember the taste of copper in my mouth. I don't remember being hooked up to an IV. So let me catch you up to speed to what I just recently went through. I go in and my doctor's like, all right, this is what you got to do. You got to get there, drink a lot of water, which I do anyway, but I had to drink a lot more. Get there an hour before and you have to drink some iodine. And then you're going to go in for the scan. Okay. So I drank a lot of water that day. I got pissed as it is. I pee a lot as it is anyway because I drink a lot of water. So I'm holding the pee in. I get there, the doctor's like, here you go, the intern, whatever the fuck you want to call him, the orderly, gave me 2 500 milliliters of iodine. Yeah, clear. It's not that chalky shit. I remember my mother, I mean, not just like towards the end of her life, but earlier on, my mother's always had health issues. I remember going with her for scans where she had to drink this chalky shit, and I watched seeing her like intestines and stuff light up when I was a kid. I remember going to the doctor's appointment with her. This stuff that I had to drink was clear. It was water. So basically, it's like tap water. Tap water tastes like shit anyway. I don't like any water that comes out of the tap. It tasted like a tainted tap water, if tap water could be more tainted than what it normally tastes like. So he's like, here you go. You're going to drink this first bottle, 500 milliliters in 20 minutes, and then the second one, 500 milliliters in the last 20 minutes, and then we'll go take you down to prep you for your scan. So I pound the fucking thing. And I'm already getting agita, got the reflux going on, which I've already been treating on. I got off the omeprazole. I started taking it again recently. I think reflux has something to do with the reflux. So I'm already like, this is tough to put down. It's triggering something, but I get it down. Then they're like, all right, we're going to come take you now for the full prep. I'm like, full prep? What the fuck? Got to take my clothes off. I had a t-shirt on under my sweater that day and my button up from work. I had my pants on. I had to take the pants off. They gave me the Johnny pants. I didn't need the Johnny top. So I'm walking around t-shirt, sneakers, and my Johnny pants. Go in there. I'm sitting down. There's a lady next to me, an old lady going off on a fucking Lyft driver. I guess apparently she told me her life story. She had a couple of dog's appointments today, but they kept on extending it for more tests. And she's telling the Lyft driver, oh, I'll be down. I'm finishing up my CT scan and I'll be down in 10 minutes. She was lying because she wasn't getting her CT scan anytime soon, but she didn't want to be stuck there. And she's bitching to the Lyft driver, like, you better not leave me. And she's swearing at him. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking crazy. You ever do that when somebody's telling you a story that you don't know and you clearly know that they're crazy and your only response to them, oh, that's crazy, because you really don't want to talk to them, but you don't want to be rude? That was me. So a little nurse comes over. She's like, okay, we're going to put the IV into your arm. I'm like, whoa, IV, the fuck are you talking about? I'm not dehydrated. They're like, no, for the iodine. No. I just drank 1,000 milliliters of fucking iodine. What do you mean? She goes, oh, no, that is to light up the stomach. She goes, the IV goes into your vein. That's for everything else. I go, you fucking kidding me? Again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm covered in tattoos. I had my fair share of fights. I come from a tough fucking neighborhood. I've done tough mudders. I've done MMA. I'm a pretty tough person, physically. I really am. It's not like I've had needles in me before. I've had blood withdrawn all through this testing. I've had IV in me before. I just wasn't mentally prepared for that. So I'm like, okay, I guess if we have to. So the IV is where they just drop it in and it's like a tube hanging. It's not hooked up to a drip yet because I don't need actual intravenous. So what needs to happen is that I need to go down to the CAT scan and they're going to put more iodine in me. So now I'm walking around my arm all taped up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Italian. I'm a fucking hairy Italian. Not a hedgehog hairy, but enough that I'm hairy. I got hairy arms. And I knew this was going to be brutal because of the tape that they had to put on it when they take this off. But they had to tape the tube down on my forearm. I'm like, motherfucker, this is going to suck when they rip the shit off later. And it did. So I go back to the little waiting room. The little nurse comes and gets me. And she goes, here's the guy's going to take you down to the CAT scan. Now this guy takes over. I go in. There's that guy and another woman inside the room. They like lie down. They give me a little thing for my leg so I'm comfortable. So it goes between the way the back of my knees fold. And I'm lying down. And she's like, put your hands above your head. So I'm raising my hands above my head. And I'm in the circular thing. She's like, you're going to go through it for like 2 minutes. They ain't going to come out. And she's like, I'm going to put the iodine into your IV. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Again, I've been into an MRI, which is very fucking claustrophobic. I've had a bunch of tests done. I'm like, how bad can this fucking be? So I'm in there and I do the 2 minutes. I come out. She's like, all right, here's the injection. She's telling me what I'm about to feel. And she hit it right on the head. It's basically the iodine. First, she flushes the IV, make sure it's clean. So you feel like a cool little, I don't know, a burst of freshness going into your vein. I don't know if that's what heroin feels like. I don't know what the fuck it was. So she cleans it. And then she's like, here you go. Here comes the iodine. So the iodine, you feel a sense of warmth in the arm that you're being injected in. And then somehow it starts at the top of your head. It goes down to the back of your mouth, into your throat. That's where it tastes like a fucking, a copper robot, like fucking jizzed in your fucking mouth. And it tastes like fucking that copper jizz, that bag of fucking pennies is so gross. Then that warmth goes down to your belly, down to like your dick area, to your ass, and to your legs. Then it comes back up to your ass, and it feels like you're sitting on a warm, heated car seat, like Wesley Snipes, which I turn sometimes on in the Boston winters. And then it sits there, and it feels like you're about to shit your pants. So even though the whole thing now is going to be an additional 6 minutes, it feels weird. And that goes away within 3 minutes. And then the last 3 minutes, you're just watching the machine spin. You're not supposed to look at the laser. You come right out. So I had that all done. And I come out like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I'm like, no, I've had worse done to me, blah, blah, blah. And I get out. I put my clothes back on. I take off the Johnny pants. I get dressed. I leave. I go about my business. Before I left the fucking hospital to walk home, I had to pee about 5, 6, 7, 8 more times. I also didn't know if I was going to have to do a number two because the shit I had in my system, luckily I didn't have to. So I had to pause and catch myself, and then I end up the long walk home to the Tea Palace in Fenway, which I loved walking through the city, but I don't know if it was a good idea doing that with all the water and iodine and all the shit in me, and plus, you know, what I had hooked up to me. You know, maybe I should have had like a cookie or something. I was not really feeling lightheaded. I was just really cranky and tired. Last week was a rough week. I also was sick last week. I fought it off, which was good, but I was in such a bad mood. And last week, just a little something happened with Wesley Snipes, and I'm going to get into that with the podcast tomorrow with B-Lo. But it was just a rough fucking week, and I'm walking with my head like, what the fuck? And in back of my head, again, I'm leaving the hospital. Now as I get distance from the hospital, I'm not at the hospital when my mother passed away and all that stuff. I'm kind of getting a clearer head. But now once that clear head strikes, it's like, you can't help but think, right, where you got health stuff going on and you have a parent who's gone through so much health stuff and she passed away. She had cancer so many times. The liver cancer moved into her stomach. I can't help but think, and I've never been a paranoid person. This is what I try to explain to people, especially people who have not known me a long time. Like my girl, I'm like, I've always been a real healthy person. Never been worried about my health. And just with my mother and the stuff I'm going through, from your head to your heart and then your stomach, I mean, besides my dick, these are the things that guys worry about when you hit my age at 42. You know, you don't know what the fuck's going to happen. And constantly I'm worrying now, and I never worried in my life because, again, I work out, I eat healthy. I don't really have a stressful life like I did when I was a kid. I built a pretty good life for myself. But you can't help but fucking think that there's something inside of you that is about to take your life at some point, whether it's cancer or some other disease, and that's where it sits there. And I constantly feel like they missed something. I don't know why, but I do. You miss something with my head. You miss something with my heart. So I don't know what's going to happen. So I got to wait the next day, nothing. I didn't get my fucking results. So I had to sit through the whole weekend waiting, like, what the fuck's going on? So I also wasn't in the best of moods over the weekend. And then finally, Monday morning, I get they got this portal thing they call it. It's an app from your doctor basically saying, no, T, you're cleared. Your stomach came back normal. And I'm like, all right, what the fuck can it be? Everything's coming back normal. They don't want to call it anxiety. So now with the whole stomach thing, now what do I do? Do I try that FODMAP diet? I start making tweaks. It's like, That's the issue, right? That they couldn't pinpoint something. I didn't want it to be something that was going to kill me, but I wanted it to be something that I could find out what it was and possibly come up with a treatment for it. No. So now I got to go down this fucking road of basically trying to figure out all the things I need to take out of my diet, which is very limited anyway, and then slowly introducing it, which is going to be very fucking tough because my girlfriend is a phenomenal cook and I appreciate the stuff when we eat together. But also, I'm going to Las Vegas this weekend for the Conor McGregor fight. And then the following weekend, we're going to New York City for my girlfriend's birthday. So it's going to be tough to get this shit into my system. And also, I'm also thinking that maybe, hey, it's my meal prep. Maybe I should not be taking these healthy meals and warming them up with a microwave. I've been on this meal prep routine for 5 years. Maybe I'm not supposed to be doing that. All these things are crossing my mind, where basically the tummy pot of this podcast, and I'm telling you, you people out there, you gentlemen my age, when you get to a certain age, you worry about every little fucking health thing. But there's some things that just come with age that you can't fucking pinpoint. And you want to be able to say, well, it's this and let me fix it. That's who I am as a person. You give me a problem, I'm going to fucking solve it. I can't solve this shit. I can't figure it out. And now I got to prolong it going into the third fucking year of this shit. That pissed me off. Now I'm going to get into the fucking dummy portion of this. And there's a couple of fucking dummies that I want to get into. Real quick. I just got to knock this out. Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is a fucking dummy. He was all over TMZ, all over social media recently, over the last 48 hours, where he's always doing something dumb. He was in Florida, and his baby mama, I don't know if he has multiple baby mamas, but the one baby mama I think he has three kids with, according to the video I watched, came to his house and was supposedly taking his kids to school, but for some reason, according to him, she supposedly tried to take his Bentley, one of his cars. He called the cops. The cops didn't know what to do. He's arguing with the fucking cops. And the woman was not allowed to take the car. He's on the cops. He took a bag of candy dicks and throws them at his baby mama. This is all in front of the kids. He's swearing at the cops. He's calling them cracker. He's calling her a white bitch. He's saying shit like fucking fishbowl. He's on all this stuff. He's also a racist motherfucker. So I don't know how him and Tom Brady get along, but Antonio Brown absolutely hates white people. And he's just fucking going on and on and on. So all that shit aside, whether the beef you have with your baby mama, with the cops, regardless if it's a money thing, a skin color thing, being an asshole thing, your kids are right there. He's swearing up a fucking storm in front of his fucking kids. One's like 3 years old, wearing around in his fucking underwear, like, bye, daddy. He's like, I love you. But then he turns to the mom, fuck you, bitch, fuck you. Like, there's nobody should ever allow him back into the NFL. He should just take whatever money he has and just fucking disappear. Antonio Brown is a fucking dummy. Getting into one more dummy, which is hitting close to home. I went late in this podcast tonight. And I'm kind of glad I did, because right before I turn on the microphone in the Tea Palace, I got breaking news across my phone. Again, I get a lot of sports updates all day long, social media stuff, entertainment news, stuff that I stay a part of, right? Alex Cora and the Boston Red Sox have decided to part ways. Why? Well, this is the other dummy aspect of what I was getting into besides Antonio Brown. It came down not too long ago that basically the Houston Astros cheated during the whole season when they won the World Series back in 2017. They were using technology. It's not okay, but it's an unspoken rule where you could steal signals, where you can notify your batters or your runners what the pitcher from the opposing team is throwing if you understand what the catch is doing. If you could visually and verbalize that, what's not okay is you can't use technology. So, and the Red Sox under Alex Cora earlier on, once he took over 2 seasons ago, when it was during when he left, as the bench coach of the Houston Astros at 2017, won the World Series with them, then became the head coach of the Boston Red Sox in 2018, and they won the World Series. The 2018 season, the Red Sox, at the time, it was brought up that they were using Fitbits and Apple Watches to signal each other on their wrists what the pitcher is about to throw. Major League Baseball stepped in and had a problem with that. Now, I'm going to get into something right here before I call Alex Cora a dummy, which he is. You guys all know me. I'm a big Boston sports fan. I'm a sports fan in general, but also I'm a realist. I'm also somebody who's very fucking true. You ask me something, you'll never get a lie. I never lie, ever. So I'm also not going to sit here and defend my Boston teams. Back at Spygate, I said it. Mangini was a rat fuck that every team did that. But this is when somebody decided to blow the whistle and the Pats got in trouble. They got fined. They paid the price. And that was that. I will also sit here and tell you that as a Boston fan, a lifelong Boston fan growing up here, that when somebody asks me who I think is the greatest basketball player of all time, especially during my era, a lot of Boston people my age will say Larry Bird. I will say, no, that is Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of my era. I'll put Michael Jordan over LeBron James any given fucking time of the day. I will also, during my era, put Michael Jordan, then Magic Johnson, then Larry Bird at number three as my top three during my generation. I will also sit here and tell you on the T Podcast or to your face, as a Boston fan, if you ask me who I think is the greatest baseball player of my generation, as a lifelong Red Sox fan, I will look you dead in the eye and I will say Derek Jeter. He was a New York Yankee. He was a homegrown New York Yankee. He was a guy that played his ass off and he helped win a lot of titles even before they started buying titles, the Yankees, and then the Red Sox started buying titles. I can say that because I'm an honest guy. I will also say to you when Tom Brady is doing shit, I will also let you know my teams are doing shit. I'm also very honest and very critical. So I'm not going to sit here and defend Alex Cora. I will tell you this. Every fucking team, almost every player fucking cheats. It doesn't matter who gets caught. Major League Baseball, and there's a bunch of fucking reports out there now that the Yankees were under investigation for doing recording and camera finagling in their locker room back in 2015. Nothing fell through. It just so happened that the Houston Astros, as World Series champions, and Alex Cora being the guy that left that team and then went over to the Boston Red Sox, he was supposedly the mastermind behind it all. He was the one that basically took that camera on the outfield to zoom in and basically see what the catcher was trying to call to his pitcher, the opposing catcher, to the opposing pitcher. And then he got the monitor and had it installed into the dugout. And he was the one that got the trash can and they were banging the trash can to alert the players what pitch is about to come next. He took that, came over to the Red Sox. Again, we didn't know this was happening out there. Boston fans didn't know. The Boston Red Sox front office didn't know. He took his management style, that included cheating, and he brought it over to the Boston Red Sox. He tried the Fitbit Apple Watch thing, and then somehow, some way, he ended up doing a way to coach, put a perfect team together, and of course, there was some cheating involved, and at some point, we ended up winning the World Series. Now, is our World Series title tainted? No. Is the Houston Astros World Series title tainted? No. They're not penalizing the players. It's tough to pinpoint who cheated, where, and what. I will say this, that the fucking owner from the Houston Astros fired the GM, also fired the coach. Alex Cora, before I went live on the podcast at this time, everybody's asking my opinion. Everybody in Boston had an opinion. Absolutely, I said he was going to get banned from baseball. If he was the mastermind and other people got a year, he was getting either a two-year ban or a lifelong ban. And I said the Red Sox have no choice but to part ways with him. Now, the ban didn't come through, but as of this recording, when I went live right now, the Boston Red Sox and Alex Cora have agreed to part ways. Alex Cora, again, I was very happy when they won the 2018 World Series. We won the World Series. The Red Sox won the World Series right when my mother passed away. And that team, that did something for me. And then the Pats went on to win the Super Bowl. That meant a special place between that October and that February, which I needed that. So I'm kind of bitter and pissed at Alex Cora for more of a personal stance than your typical Red Sox fan. But he absolutely should be banned from baseball. He absolutely should have parted ways with the Red Sox. They did the right thing, the Boston Red Sox. And he should not be allowed to ever coach or go anywhere near a Major League Baseball team again. You know, like Pete Rose admitting to gambling, Alex Cora, this is the bed you made. Now you got to fucking sleep in it. You know what I mean? That's just how it goes. So I'm not going to defend him. He fucking cheated in Houston and he tried to cheat in Boston. I'm not defending him. I want him gone because he tainted, in my mind, something, a special season, a special World Series. And I don't like that. You know, I will never say there's an asterisk in any of my Patriots Super Bowls. No, I don't. They won that shit clean. But I will say there is a dark cloud over that 2018 season as well. And Alex Cora is now gone. So he's a fucking dummy as well. What the Boston Red Sox should do, they're rebuilding. They don't know what the fuck they're going to do with Mookie. They gave him more money for 1 year. I think they need to go out and get Jason Veritek, our old captain, our old coach. The Sox fans love him. Everybody loves him. This will bring a PR spin and a lot of positivity and a PR stance to the team. Go out and sign Jason Veritek. You can't go sign David Ortiz because he's an analyst and I don't think he's a coach quite yet. But most catchers that have been in the league for a long time, especially that know their team, which Tech was a catcher, and he knows the Boston Red Sox, knows the front office, he should become the manager for the Boston Red Sox. Give him a two-year deal. Let's see what the fuck happens. You got all the talent on the field. Tech should be able to call some of that shit. Bring in Jason Varitek. Tech is a beast. All you Boston Red Sox fans, remember that saying. Tech is a beast. Old school. Cowboy up, motherfuckers. Before I end, this is more of a personal note, yet more pop culturally, wherever you want to go down that road. The Oscar nominations came out the other day. I don't care about award shows. I care about movies. I'm going a little bagging, fucking boasting hair right here, where I usually do. That I know movies, know better than most people on the fucking planet. Into the fucking screenwriting, all that stuff. I know a good movie when I see it. You guys hear me come here and I do my tea reviews, any type of movie in 15 minutes. I tell you what a movie's going to be. I tell you if it's going to receive Oscar nominations. I tell you how good or how bad it is. Case in point, Joker. I told you all back when this came out over the summer that Joker was going to get a shit ton of Oscar nominations. Best actor, best picture, best director, best adapted screenplay. It got it all. It got all those and seven more. It got 11 nominations. People here that are trying to tell me that The Irishman should have won stuff. Irishman got left out the Golden Globes. The Irishman did get a lot of Oscar nominations, but The Irishman was a shitty movie. I told you all it was going to be a common courtesy nomination throwing bones to Martin Scorsese. People in my personal life, people come on my Facebook, were trying to tell me how good The Irishman was and what it was going to do. No, no, no. Listen to me when I tell you this shit. When I give my fucking reviews, I'm going to tell you the same thing right here. If you're into the Oscars, if you're into movies, if you're into the fucking what people wear to these little fucking award shows, that's great. I'm telling you right now. I said it before and I'll say it again. Joaquin Phoenix will win Best Actor. Now, I haven't seen 1917. I'm hearing all the rage about that. Until I see that, I can't make my final recommendation in who's going to win Best Picture. But until I see that right now, Joker should win Best Picture. Todd Phillips should win Best Director. Adapted Screenplay should also go to the Joker. Original Screenplay, just like the Golden Globes, should go to Quentin Tarantino in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That I'm going to leave to you. So any of you dummies out there in my personal life, or any of the fans, listeners out there who judge me, who don't listen to my movie reviews, who think I don't know anything about fucking movies, who just think I come here to talk about myself, which I kind of do, but you come here to be fucking entertained. Go back and listen to my movie reviews. In particular, go back and listen to my reviews of The Joker, of Joker, The Irishman, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Go do that. And I'll leave you with that. Tummies and dummies. All right, everyone. That was the show for Tuesday, January 14th. 2020, 2020 late night edition. That was the Tea Podcast number 132. Until next time, always take it there.
Listen to Tea and the Tea Podcast on iTunes and TeaBlog.com. Also follow Tea along on Twitter and Instagram on the Tea Blog account. All one word, TBLAWG, on the Tea Blog Facebook page. And again, on Instagram, this time on the Tea Podcast account, the_T_podcast. You can send comments and questions along to Tea at tea@t-blog.com. That's tea@t-blawg.com. The show has now ended. Tea has taken it there.